You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
1974 was the year no one could wear flannel. Gene Sachs had used it all to shoot Lucille Ball through and maim. But pushing aside that Lucy was a little long in the tooth to play America's favorite aunt, does maim work as a movie musical? Would it have been better if George Cukor had directed as originally intended? Or without original star Angela Lansbury, was maim always destined to be what B. Arthur once called a tremendous embarrassment? One that got reviewed with so much gleeful viciousness that Lucy vowed to never make a movie again. Almost 50 years later, is MAME really that bad? I'm Mark Pikert, the world's greatest lush, and this is Movie Musical Madness, Anti-Maimed. Joining me today is my bosom buddy, Robert Horn. Oh, Robert, your fangs are showing.
Try looking in the front.
Oh, those are fangs.
You just took like my best jokes in your introduction. I didn't know you were going to do that. Well, hello.
That's why I have a Tony Award for writing the book for Tootsie.
That is why. Hi. Hello, Mark. Mark and I go back.
You really fought having to talk about MAME.
I did fight. That was not my first choice. You kept pushing me on MAME.
I know, because I want to hear what you have to say about MAME.
Well,
I know you're a huge Jane Connell fan.
I and Lucille Benson.
Oh, and?
And who, you know, was Tilly Shanks on the Waltons. So,
well, of course, you were. So you knew Lucy when you were a script boy on I Love Lucy.
I did. That was actually when it was. I only worked on the Long, Long Trailer.
Oh,
I did not.
That's right.
I did not.
That's
I was
right.
Actually, yes, I remember when they bought the studio, when they bought Desilu.
RKO.
Yes.
She used to be a starlet just waiting for her big break on that
she
studio.
Was just, her hair was brown.
Yep.
If we know. Yes, MAME, 1974. I remember.
It's not good.
I remember it was the year Nixon was forced to resign, and I remember thinking these are the two biggest tragedies of 1974. and that for thousands of little gay boys, this was going to be their introduction to musical theater, and how sad that was.
And their introduction to MAME.
Because
I think that you are on the same page about this as I am. We're huge Rosalind Russell fans.
I'm a huge Roz fan.
And Anti-Mame is probably one of the movies that I quote the most in my everyday life.
As we often do. We actually, on the first time we met, we sat there and we continue to text quotes from Anti-Mame.
Yes.
In fact, everywhere we go, we black out with a spotlight when we're about to leave a room.
Always.
Everywhere we go. No, Anti-Mame was formative in my youth and in wanting to I just loved the movie. And I remember seeing Angela in the original and every incarnation since on Broadway. So this was, it was both blasphemous, but also, because I watched it again yesterday, because knowing we were doing this, not horribly horrible. I mean, it was bad, but they were actually, first of all, no straight man should have directed this movie. Gene Sachs
and a straight man, married to B.
Arthur. So you know that relationship was not good, and you knew that this was going to be his vengeance. Sure, honey, let's do the movie too.
Now, remember, he directed the original stage musical.
I know he did.
It's more for the home listeners who might not know.
But in the stage musical, he waited for laughs. In the movie, he waited for laughs that never came. I mean, it was just so...
The entire movie, one, feels lugubrious.
Yes.
Two, there are... And we talk about comedy a lot, and we both love breathless comedy.
No air.
And there are giant quotation marks around the camera's there for 5 seconds, punchline, the camera sits on that face for 5 seconds more, and the next scene.
And you're gone. And as you said, I mean, the whole thing was shot through a mosquito net and boy butter. I mean, it was just literally like they were trying to grow yeast on the camera lens.
No one had sex in the continental baths because all the Vaseline
was
used for this lens.
There was nothing left. Madeline Bett, nothing. There was dry humping at the continental baths after that. I'm sorry. We're in mixed company. I shouldn't have said that. It really was a drama. There really was not a, and God bless Lucy, who was way too old for the part. She from the very beginning, there was no joy. I mean, when Roz does this, there is such joy. She is regal, not royal.
Yes.
And Lucy was playing royal, not regal.
Yes.
If that makes sense.
Yes.
And you could just feel it and you wanted to love it. I mean, when she's sitting on that floor and she calls over that little fox and he doesn't even want to come, that's a tell. That's a tell. He's like, do I want to go over there? Is it in my rider? Can I not go? Yeah.
So I want to address the big things that everyone talks about very quickly. The biggest is always that they shot her through whatever they shot her through, which, fine, that's...
Except when Preston came onto the screen, he was also shot through that.
Well, and he was only in his 50s.
Yeah, but he... But
people aged differently back then.
They did. Nobody aged in that movie. No. I mean, it was sort of... It was a time capsule. It was Vaseline used as a time capsule.
This is like that episode of The Twilight Zone with Anne Blythe, where she's the old Egyptian goddess who's a movie star.
But wait. The Avalanche? I mean... Okay, we haven't talked about this.
We have not talked about this movie at all.
In Auntie Mame, he yodels and falls off the thing, and it's hysterical. Trying to get a picture. In this movie, they do this really bad smash cut to footage of an avalanche that it's shocking. It's tragic.
And then Beau's dead.
Then we come back on the portrait. And she she's not in black. The other one is.
Yes, she's in white.
She's in white.
Because she's ready to move on.
Yeah.
She has to live.
She has to live.
You know, she's rich now.
She's rich now. How do you put Lucille Ball on roller skates in Macy's and not get a laugh?
And nothing.
Not even try for a laugh.
Not even.
Well, so
roller skates related to that. She broke her leg in a skiing accident before filming started, and that pushed filming. And so George Cukor was supposed to direct, and by the time she was recovered enough, he couldn't do it. So they got Gene Sachs to do it. So I think that is one reason why she looks moves very gingerly. She doesn't move well. She moves gingerly.
How old was she? Do you know how old
she was?
She was in her
60s.
Yeah.
She's in her 60s. So she's, you know, an older woman. And the singing is the other big thing. Like, people talk about she can't sing, she croaks. But that's fine. I don't like the singing.
Here's my other question. So because we haven't talked about this. In Auntie Mame and in Mame, in the musical, so Gooch comes back. In this, she goes off in a cab and she comes back pregnant. And we never actually know who impregnated her.
Yes.
But in Auntie Mame.
It's Brian O'Banion.
Right. So was Brian O'Banion in the musical or did they just do that for the movie?
Okay. So then now we're getting into deep waters because this movie chops out. They spent so much time putting air around the jokes. They've chopped out there is no ending.
There's no ending.
There's no. Patrick storms out.
And then
all of a sudden
he's with Pagin.
And his child.
And his child. On TWA. He's going to Ottawa.
The water. But even, like, so here's a perfect example of how...
Literally, he's angry. So you find out that she bought the house for the unwed mothers.
Yes.
They break up. Patrick is furious at her.
Which also, in Auntie Mame, she bought the house for Jewish refugees.
Thank you. Yes.
And now it's unwed mothers.
But what was it in Mame?
I think it was unwed mothers.
Okay, so I think they can. I actually like the Jewish refugees only because it's my people.
Yes, of course. Yes, of course.
We're still looking for a home.
Oi.
But I'm going to live in Scottsdale. But
was that okay? That's good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Your Yiddish is coming along nicely. Really, what does Scottsdale translate to?
Scottsdale.
Oh, wow.
And it's so interesting. The movie spans like 20 years. Which was also the running time. So
I mean, this is a
it is
the
slow, long, slow movie, and it's sad because it's so iconic, and it's one of my favorite scores. It really is one of my. I think it's a lot of our favorite musical. I mean, the score is just absolutely sensational.
Well, what's interesting is it's a lot of people's favorite Jerry Herman score that they've never seen. Because this isn't being this has never been revived without Angela Lansbury on Broadway.
No, Tynedale. Didn't
not on Broadway.
Oh, really? Wait, who? Betty Buckley did it. Oh, that was
Paper. Are you thinking of Gypsy?
I'm thinking of Gypsy. That was
wow. That's we're a here to talk movie. About Mame, Mame today.
Yeah, that's right.
Get your no, Rosalind Russell
no,
straight.
No, it was revived with Never Revived. You're right.
No, it was just Angela in the 80s.
Yeah.
After a big national tour.
Yeah, at the Winter Garden.
But
I remember that giant sign over the Winter Garden, right? With her, oh, that's Gypsy.
Oh, that's before, wow.
That's Gypsy.
You're obsessed with Gypsy. I'm sorry, we've already done that episode. Julie Halston was here for that.
I know, I love my Julie Halston.
So here's the best indication of all the things that are wrong with this movie.
Okay.
So in Auntie Mame, she serves pickled rattlesnake to the Epsons.
Yes. In
the stage, in the musical Mame, in the stage musical Mame, she also serves, if not pickled rattlesnake, something along those lines. In this movie, she serves baked monkey.
Monkey? Why monkey?
That's not even a funny
Why,
joke.
How? It's not even funny. Because there was a K in it? Oh, let's do monkey. There's a K in it. Was it? And it wasn't even delivered. She delivers. Oh, what is this? Baked monkey. First of all, she literally sounded like the entire movie was pre-recorded while she was smoking a cigar. There was, I mean, literally, it's Lucy at, it's.
No, it says so Lauren Bacall in the
you,
fan.
It was Lauren Bacall looking out her window. No, I'm not going to do that joke.
Lauren Bacall after a bender with Jason Robards.
And so if you have not seen the movie, just know.
Don't.
But this is also not the Lucille Ball that is iconic. This is Lucille Ball wanting to be a movie star again.
Yes. Yes.
And you could feel that. You felt that the minute the opening number starts and It's Today happens, you're like, oh, this is not the Lucy we wanted.
Also, the last time that Theodore Van Ronkel gave her a nice outfit to wear, that red pantsuit.
Yeah, I
everything
know.
Else was, oh, I guess it's the 40s.
It was a fashion parade. It sort of was a fashion parade.
But hideous. Like, she doesn't look good in black. She wore black so much that Christmas, the Santa mask that she wore during We Need a Little Christmas, I joked on Instagram.
Yeah,
what was that? She had
what
to wear
it. What was so Silence of the Lambs? I was like, what? Why is she wearing this? But wait, they didn't even make a joke out of it. She just turns around, takes it off, and then turns back around. And there's poor Robert Preston, who at least in Mame, in Anti-Mame, she loses everything and the apartment is empty.
Yes.
This stayed furnished. She comes out there taking out the rug and then you go inside and it's all the rug was going to cover the debt, the one oriental rug.
Also,
and God bless. I mean, in the movie,
Nora.
Nora. Were hysterical. I mean, they were Abbott and Costello. They were
yes.
So. This was this. For okay, they were so serious in this. There was
no
humor
this is a drama.
At all.
This is a musical drama.
It really was a musical drama.
It's like watching Great Gardens.
It was Mame. No, Great Gardens was funny.
Well,
Great Gardens had humor. they had corn.
Lucy was a movie star in the 30s, and she was going to be a movie star.
She wanted that laugh.
She did. She wanted to cap off a career with a giant, great, big movie hit where she is the lead.
And it was coming off of being a huge hit on Broadway.
Yeah.
So here's my question to you. Maybe you know the answer because I don't. Why did they not cast Angela in the movie? Why did they cast Lucy?
Nobody knows because it's not just Angela. Think about all the people who did it on tour, all the replacements. Like Celeste Holm was not nobody.
Yeah.
I mean, but nobody wants to see Celeste Holm.
Tickets. I mean, she's still painting in All About Eve. She's still doing the painting. It's almost done. Karen, is it done? It's almost done, darling.
Well, she had a lot to deal with, okay? It took her a while to get back.
She did, poor Celeste. I know.
I know.
She's still sitting in that car waiting for them to come with the gas.
She's still sharpening Lloyd's pencils.
Jesus.
I've heard that before.
Nothing should have brought us closer than row E. Yeah. But
same. They didn't cast
Lucy.
Ann Miller. They didn't cast...
And where was Lucy in her career at that point? I mean,
she was doing Here's Lucy with her children because they had an entire episode dedicated to Mame, the movie release.
Oh, did they? Oh,
Lucy, the Here's Lucy Lucy met Lucille Ball. And so she did double duty.
No.
Yes. Yes.
Yes. I mean, wow. I mean, there was so, I mean, I was very upset about Ito and Nora. I mean, poor Ito. He was just, I mean, it was like he was auditioning for Allegiance. I mean, this was not like a comedy.
No, he didn't bring the laughs.
He didn't bring the laughs. And wait, there was no Nora.
No, in the Nora's version, in the main version of the story, Nora becomes folded in with Agnes.
Yep. Right, and because then Pegeen becomes the housekeeper at the end instead of the...
Which also, so this is such a small
and
thing.
And she's Irish.
She's
got an Irish accent.
This is such a small thing.
Which, wait, disappears at the airplane.
Well.
She has an Irish accent for the whole, and then when
she loses
goodbye,
it when she gets nervous.
She loses it. That's what it was.
I mean, that's what
she
happens.
She loses it around propellers.
Yes. But this is such a small thing, but this is so indicative of how Lucy approached the character, how the movie approached the character of Mame. Because when you meet Pegeen in Anti-Mame, she's casually dressed. She's hanging up the Yule's Ulu.
Yule. Oh, how do you do this without Yule Ulu?
And here she is dressed like a French farce maid. Yeah, where she's got a little cap, she's got a frilly apron, she's
really
dressed in black.
It was just like somebody had used that set to shoot a porn the day before, and they just get the costume.
And she came to the corner.
They spent so much on costumes, they had no money for retakes on this movie.
I mean,
everything was like it was a first take.
Yes, they just set and they didn't move the camera.
They didn't move
the camera. That camera did not move.
And you know. When she's tasting that drink of it, I mean, all that. Lucy had no comedy.
No.
God bless her. And okay.
But I actually think that Lucy is at her best with the Upsons, because all of a sudden she's not trying to have chemistry with a child. Because she's not a warm woman.
She's not a warm woman.
She's not a matronly type.
Come to Auntie.
Honestly.
You can see the fear in that kid's face.
Vera had more chemistry with those kids.
But wait, side note, how cute was Bruce Davidson? What? I mean.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I don't remember that Bruce Davidson. I was like, oh, yeah, okay, cute.
Yeah, when he's saying goodbye to Mame at the Upsons, I was like, oh.
Oh, yeah.
Hello.
Okay, hello. Yeah, hello.
Gloria, get out of my way.
Gloria. come on.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFF's creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary, and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFF's The Original New Musical from Shayna Taub is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at suffsmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
How do you not have the ping pong scene? How do you not have stomped on the ping pong ball?
Well, I mean, look, I don't need an exact recreation of the thing that I love.
Oh, no,
I would love a different version. But here's the thing, because I went back and I read the libretto. And so I read the final scene because
it really
ended
do
so,
your homework.
Well, I am the host.
Oh, my God. Yes, better man than I. I watched the last 12 minutes.
Well, wonderful. That's
took
all
me
you
three
needed.
Hours, but yes.
So I went back and I read the scene because it ends so abruptly. It felt like something. It felt like I lost a chapter of the DVD. Like I passed out.
Wait, what?
I left my body.
What? Yeah.
And in the stage version, it is like Anti-Mame. Babcock is there the entire time. Babcock is in Mame the entire time. He disappears after he drags Patrick
in
to
this,
the boarding
gone.
School.
Yeah,
gone.
He's gone.
No recurring character.
And B. Arthur takes it, gets in the car with him
and takes
for
him to
no
the school.
Reason. Takes him to the school for no reason. And,
no reason.
And then she says, "Ito, get my car." Drives to the school as if she knows where they're going.
Yes, Mame follows them.
Follows them 20 minutes later.
I mean, thank God, at least when Vera's in the car. She gets off that line about Coco Chanel.
Yeah, she did. She made
sell
it for
a mother.
Me. Yeah, she. Oh yeah, she would sell a mother. She made this for me. You know, she would sell a mother. Only now, be Arthur. I mean, listen. Be
all right. Well, can I just finish
okay.
my thought?
Yes.
My God.
Mine too, and I'm atheist.
Wow.
I'm agnostic.
You're Jewish. You're an atheist. I can't
am an
keep
atheist
track.
Jew, yeah.
You're, well, this
say,
movie
yeah.
has really put you through
yeah,
it.
I always say everything bad that happens is God punishing me for being an atheist. That's my ideology.
Oh, now that's very smart.
That was a smart
decision. Yeah.
Mame had none of that.
No, Mame had no witty humor.
Who wrote, do we know who wrote this? Go ahead, finish your thought.
Yes, I do. Paul Zindel.
We expect
Electric
better.
Miracle.
We expect
yeah,
better.
Yeah. Man on the Moon Miracles. So in Mame, the stage version, it is fairly similar to the ending of Anti-Mame. There's the big embarrassing scene with the Epsons. Babcock is furious that she's ruined his relationship with Gloria, and she tells him off. And then she looks at Patrick because she can do all of this, but if Patrick isn't on her side, then it's all over.
Right.
And he can run after Gloria. And he looks at her and says, "Thank you, Moon Lady." As a reference to the New Haven disastrous New Haven tryout of the B. Arthur Vera operetta. She was the Moon Lady.
Right.
And so then you have a touching reconciliation, and then you cut to the future, and he's got Peggy, and he's got a son. And here, she watches him walk away after Gloria, and that's it. And there's no resolution. There's no Mame did the right thing. There's no
you have to
confirmation of right. her joie de vivre and of her approach to life and her shooting down sacred cows.
Right. Nothing. You just have to assume that 7 years has gone by. The kid is 7 years old now. They've gotten mad. There's no summation of what theme.
No.
At all. It's just, I think they just ran out of money. They just ran.
Honestly,
they were like, okay, look, we're done. We're
well, you
done.
Know what they didn't run out of money for? When B. Arthur insisted on secretly recording It's Today. At the end, where she comes into the party with the Upsons, and she's belting out "It's Today."
Oh, that makes no sense with six dancers.
Yes, well, they frame her better.
And how is she doing a callback to that song? She wasn't there. She was
passed out.
She was passed out.
I mean, she was there for a little bit, but also like,
and what was that? And what was Lucy we'll get the wrinkles out. Putting the shower on. I get they were trying to do a bit.
No, but yeah, at least that was one of the few smash cuts that made me laugh.
Yeah, it was the only smash
cutting
cut that made
to,
me laugh.
Well, actually, it made me think of that scene where Joan in Mommy Dearest, where Joan Crawford gets into her shower at the beginning, and she's got the three shower heads blasting down on her.
Funnier. That was funnier. That was funnier.
Mommy Dearest as a whole is funnier
was
than
funnier
Mame.
Than Mame. Now, in all fairness, there was also...
Why start now?
But there was also, you know, it's interesting because it did not get exclusively panned.
No.
There were some critics that really did celebrate the joy of it being a musical.
Yes. And the story, I mean, Mame is always going to be this larger than life character that people are drawn to as audience members.
Very true. And I mean, poor Robert Preston in over his head, but he actually made Beauregard likable.
Yeah.
What's her name? Jane Connell, who played his mother.
Jane Connell played Gooch.
Did she play Gooch? Wait. Yeah. Who played? Oh no, that was Lucille Benson, right? Mrs. Burnside.
Yes.
But she was anything but Southern. She was anything but Southern.
No.
And what happened to the horse? The horse's name was supposed to be.
It goes back and forth. Meditation,
yes.
What was it
in
this one?
That was really fun. No name. They just, that's a wild horse.
No, they say the name.
No, they don't.
Yeah, because
do they?
I thought they put that horse down. I thought, is that Thundercloud?
What's it, Thundercloud?
I mean, it's not Thundercloud.
Still also left over from the porn they shot the day before. Thundercloud? Did they?
I thought he went home.
Oh, my God. And in the movie, in Anti-Mame, she couldn't get the boots on, so there was a build up to her inadequacy and how she was able to triumph over that.
Yes,
and there was nothing to triumph over this other than some dirty looks.
It was almost as if Lucy didn't want to ever let us see Mame struggle,
or have any flaws. That's a good point.
It's insane to me that you have Lucille Ball in a movie where the original, like Rosalind Russell did nothing but physical comedy throughout Auntie Mame. And you have Lucille Ball, and she doesn't do any physical comedy.
I don't think she... You have to probably think she didn't want to. I mean, she probably felt there was a pathos and a dramatic side to this woman. I don't understand it. Because Lucy, throughout the entire history of her career, looked for any moment that she could to chew the scenery, to have...
Yes.
To do... I mean, and you know, I love Lucy. All her shows, all that comedy was rehearsed out to a millisecond.
She famously said that she is not funny. She's brave.
Right.
And she stared at herself in a mirror and she trained with Buster Keaton and she figured out how to be funny.
Everybody knows that's her legacy.
Yeah.
How was there nothing in this? Nothing. There was nothing funny. I wanted so much. And this is the other thing. I want to love this movie.
Life would be so much easier.
It would be so much easier. We wouldn't have to sit here and do this for an hour.
No.
I mean, I honestly, there's a schmackeries waiting for me. I could have had it an hour. I wanted to love it, and it's just, it's sad to me, Mark. Sad that they could have been great. It could have been great.
So I want to address two things.
Okay.
One is Madeline Kahn was famously fired from this movie as Agnes Gooch.
Is that so?
That is, she was hired as Agnes Gooch.
Was this pre or post Paper Moon?
It was pre Blazing Saddles, because this being fired from this freed her up to do Blazing Saddles.
Well, history has a purpose.
Apparently.
Because I would have rather seen Madeline Kahn in Blazing Saddles than Madeline Kahn as Gooch.
So apparently Lucy looked at her. They did a read through. And Lucy looked at her and said, "Where's your Gooch?" She's like, "Excuse me?" Lucy's like, "Aren't you going to do a voice for Gooch?"
Well, Lucy saying, "Where's your Gooch?" means something very different, by the way. But yes.
B. Arthur knew.
B turned around to Madeline and said, "Leave now, honey. Just walk out now, honey. Trust me."
Okay, so that's the other thing that I wanted to do.
Gene!
Cut!
Gene, so, say cut!
That's the other thing I wanted to talk about, because no one has seen this movie ever.
Ever. Us.
I mean, we have. Made you.
By the way, right now. Oh, third rail. Right. Okay, I'm not allowed. Right now, there are two sales on Apple Music that they're thrilled about. That they're thrilled.
So I swear I read, and I cannot find this anywhere, so I cannot vouch for its accuracy, but.
Oh, it's true.
I am 90% certain that at one point someone wrote to Warner Brothers and said, "When will you release Mame on DVD?" in the early 2000s. And Warner Brothers wrote back and said, "We have no plans to ever release this on DVD."
They knew, huh?
Well, I mean, but okay. So here's the thing about Mame, that because no one's seen it, no one talks about, there are lyric changes. There's a whole extended coda in Bosom Buddies. Where Lucy...
In the restaurant?
No. After when all of a sudden they've made over Agnes Gooch during Bosom Buddies.
Oh, that's right. They
and
do
she's
a reprise.
Dancing, and they're doing a lot of great lining back and forth in the foyer. And Lucy has this really great line, like one of the funniest lines in Bosom Buddies. I hate it when they talk about smut, that when they say that you are part of the world's first casting couch. Yeah. And I love that. I love picturing Vera as a cast. She was never in the chorus.
No, never. I was never in the chorus.
But I mean, speaking of physical, so they finally
they
have Lucy.
They also had no chemistry.
Oh, they had no
Lucy.
Chemistry.
Although B. Arthur has famously said she enjoyed working with Lucy.
Yeah.
She hated, she can't, you know, she publicly came out and said she was embarrassed that she did the movie, but said she liked working with Lucy.
Yeah.
Now, that could have been an NDA. I don't know. She's not going to, you know, she's
no.
Not but. They kind of had no chemistry, right?
No.
Who played Vera in the movie? Who was that actress? Do we know?
Coral Brown.
Was that yeah. Her name? Coral Brown. I don't know.
Vincent Price's wife.
Really? She had her own house of wax.
Yeah.
But Roz and her, the chemistry was. I wanted that was my sitcom.
Yes.
That I wanted to see that. I wanted to see that as a series. Maybe we should do Mame and Vera the series.
This is writing itself.
It is writing itself.
But honestly, Robert, don't we do Mame and Vera the series just every day?
We are Mame and Vera.
I mean, yeah.
And we know which one you are. I'll be Vera. That's
Ito.
Fine. We are Ito. But when you've got these comic legends.
Yes.
And to not be able to find any humor in it, is that a product of the director? Is it a product of the actors? Is there hilarity sitting on a cutting room floor somewhere?
Well, I think about
how does this happen?
Comedy is too difficult to figure out. I mean, that could be any number of things, but I think about the staging of the musical numbers and how inept that felt. Because Gooch has this song, this huge song that builds and builds and builds, and all he did was have her walk around a kitchen and then cut to Lucy's reactions occasionally.
Because who choreographed it, do we know?
That was the original stage choreographer.
So, obviously, it's a directing a Broadway musical and directing a movie are two very, very different things. And when you direct a Broadway musical— Not for Bob Fosse, but where is he now?
Oh, he's dead.
Dead. I should say, but it's a very different, you know, a director on a Broadway musical very much relies on the choreographer to bring that language to the piece because that's not a director's job unless, you know, you're Casey or Bob Fosse or somebody who actually has that ability. But Gene Sachs did not. And so what Gene Sachs did was they should have let the choreographer direct those scenes. It felt too staged. It felt too staged for a movie and not staged enough for a musical.
Well, and I think about the extremely, excruciatingly long Open a New Window sequence where they get arrested.
Yeah, there's a lot going on there.
They're at the nightclub and they're both looking over their popcorn.
Yeah, it's a lot of cuts.
And then they know the judge and everything's hunky-dory. And it's just, and I did not care for that little Patrick.
The baby Patrick?
Yeah, with his bowl cut.
Yeah, he did have a little flow. It was a flowy haircut, yes.
I don't understand that reference. I'm a millennial.
Well, let me tell you. The kid was okay. I mean, the kid that did it in Anti-Mame was fantastic.
Yeah.
He knew how to... When he offers Babcock the martini, that's a brilliant, brilliant moment for him.
I mean, that is a young burgeoning homosexual.
Oh, we know.
He was all of us when we first discovered Anti-Mame. Yeah.
Well, truthfully, he's sitting in industry every night waiting to be recognized. Let's be honest. This kid, yeah. This kid was... He was just in over his head. Literally saw fear in his eyes. Yes. There were times I literally saw fear in this kid's eyes.
I feel like we could spend this entire hour talking about all the things should have been hilarious. Oh, we're not going to do a full hour.
Okay.
Don't worry. I mean, we're talking about Lucy doesn't have any physical comedy, and I take that back because she has one bit of physical comedy when she falls off the moon. And
but
it was excruciating to watch.
It was not funny. She goes, and then what's the audience member screaming out the line?
Yes.
That's a desperate act of comedy. That's like, we cannot get a laugh. I haven't. That was a last minute on the set thing. Gene, here's what we're going to do.
Be Arthur, uncredited comedy director for MAME.
Gene, so she gets stuck to Vera's dress.
Yes.
But watch it. All she's doing is clutching her fist on Vera's dress. There's no bracelets that are – it's not like – because if it was the bracelet, she would pull away and it would tug on the bracelet. All you see is Lucy clutching her fist around the fabric, and you don't understand why she's stuck.
When she gets scared, she just makes a fist and she can't let go.
It was – yeah. Actually, I think rigor mortis started to set in.
That does make sense.
And that's sort of what happened.
I mean, there are so many – I mean, just to talk about her singing for just a moment, and I don't want to beat her up because – she didn't have the voice for it.
She did not.
And she, one of my favorite quotes from her about this movie was, "Mame was up all night drinking champagne. What did you want her to sound like?" I was like, not that.
You're not that. Yeah.
I mean, come on now.
I think, yeah. She wasn't known as, and you know, Lucy always wanted to be a musical actress.
She did Wildcat on Broadway.
And what was that movie she did? That early MGM movie she did with the whip and the hole where she sang.
Ziegfeld Follies?
Was it one of the Ziegfeld Follies?
I think it was. And she's saying...
She wanted to be that. She always saw herself as a musical comedy actress. And she... And poor thing, couldn't say. She sounded like...
Me.
She sounded a little bit like the A train when it's coming through and not stopping. And it's just like... it's just that sort of what it, yeah.
Oh, but she acts. She acts her way through if he walked into my life.
Driving.
Also, I was counting her drinks. And when Patrick is walking her to her car and she says, "What, you think that I'm too tank to drive?" And I was like, "Lady, I have seen you put away at least 4 double scotches straight."
Yeah.
Don't think you should be driving.
Yeah, and even in 1974, we agreed on that.
This was set in the 40s, so a different time. We didn't know.
But also, you know, that was the year that The Way We Were came out. So.
Oh. Wow.
Big shoes. How are you going to sing? I wouldn't sing in anything that year. Barbara Streisand's first number one hit, The Way We Were.
Was it?
Yes.
Are you a big Streisand fan?
I do love a Streisand.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes, I do.
That's nice.
Let me just say, I can't say. There might be an adaptation of a Streisand project in my future for this stage. I'm not going to say what or where.
Is she coming back in Gypsy?
No, not her. Literally, one of her. Something she was in. But I'll tell you that after.
Oh, I hope it's the main event.
The main event? No, it's not the main event. Remember? Didn't I just send you? I just sent you a picture of that.
I don't know why. Yes. You were fighting a cold.
Mark told me he was fighting a cold. Or did I tell you I was fighting a cold? I was. And sent a picture from the main event.
Oh, great.
We have, nobody wants to see our text history.
No.
It's a little crazy.
I think legally they're not allowed to.
They're not allowed to. It was also the year that the book Carrie came out. So two horror movies, two horrors in one year.
I don't know what's scarier. I think actually you putting it in context like this is very helpful because this is a very old-fashioned movie for 1974.
It's old-fashioned in the era, obviously took place in the Depression era and around the Depression era, but it also did nothing to expand the artistry of filmed musicals. Yeah. It was very, very mundane. It was very average. There was nothing. They didn't try anything new. It wasn't like Vincent Minnelli came back and said, "I have one more in me," and like
no.
suddenly,
no. not after On a Clear
no,
Day.
No, good.
All right. So here's my final question
for
you. Do you think that MAME works as a movie divorced from knowledge of the stage musical?
I do not. I think if you like the movie, it's because you have an affinity for the stage musical.
Yeah.
I don't think the movie stands on its own. Just as a musical movie.
I don't. I didn't think it did.
And I want it to.
I do
but
too.
It doesn't.
But that ending, I mean, the ending alone disqualifies
ending
it
alone.
Because it's insane. They're eating baked
it's sort
monkey.
Of like, it's a little bit like a premature ejaculation. It sort of is like, sorry.
Never mind.
Sorry.
And cut
never
two.
Mind.
And cut two,
never
we have
mind.
A baby.
Yeah, and cut two. And where'd the baby come from?
That's why rhythm method never works. I've always said that.
Never work. And was she there for the birth? I kind of want to know. I think there could be an entire movie about that time span. Everything
yeah,
that
those
time
lost span, years.
Those lost years.
Yeah, where's she been traveling?
Where's she been?
Also, you never find out that she married again.
She didn't marry again, did she?
Well, she did. She married Lindsay Woolsey in Auntie Mae.
Oh, that's right.
That faithful publisher.
She married Lindsay. Mm-hmm. He was wonderful. He stood by. He just always showed up in that full-length coat.
Yes,
he never took the coat off. He never
he
took
never
that
caused
coat
drama.
Off. No, he was she that's who she needed. She needed somebody that would balance him like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Beauregard was a little dramatic. Wait, who played it in the movie? What's his name from F Troop?
I don't know that reference.
I hate your guts. We're going to end on that. We're going to end on that cruelty.
Oh, Robert Horn, thank you so much for joining me today.
I adore you.
I adore you.
And this apartment.
Oh, thank you. I like it.
I know you.
It's Beekman Place.
Deliver us to.
Welcome. And thank you for tuning in. And be sure to tune in for another episode of Movie Musical Madness.
This episode of Movie Musical Madness was edited by Kyle Moore with theme music by Sunshine Music. And thank you for listening to Movie Musical Madness, part of the Broadway Podcast Network. You can find out more about the podcast and me at bpn.fm/moviemusicalmadness.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Suf's has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suffsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but
yeah.
Not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.